How would I define what scale was? How would I explain scale? That's a really good question. I'm unprepared for that.
The Oxford Sparks Podcast, Episode 2, Matters of Scale, Part 1.
My name is Pedro Ferreira. I'm Professor of Astrophysics here at the University of Oxford.
I'm Dr. Alan Barr of the University of Oxford.
I'm a theoretical cosmologist.
I'm a particle physicist.
That means that I work on the origin, evolution, and state of the universe.
And I work on the ATLAS experiment at the Large Hadron Collider. Scale is just how big or small things are. So it's just a measure of the size of an object at a sort of very rough level.
For me, scale really means length.
So whether it's about a meter long or about 100 meters long or about 500,000 kilometers long.
It also means at different energies or different weights. But really, for me, the way to think about it is at different lengths.
You know, it's a rough order of magnitude, if you like, estimate of the size of something. That's what we mean by scale. Well, I'm concerned in a wide range of scales. I'm most directly interested in the smallest things that we can measure. So that's the fundamental constituents of the universe. And that's measuring things down to length scales, which are, well, extremely small. And I think I can only really tell you how small they are in terms of scientific notation. So we're talking about 10 to the minus 18 or 10 to the minus 19 of a meter, that sort of length scale.
So the mother of all scales is the scale of the visible universe. Okay, and that is 3,000 million parsecs, right? So let me deconstruct that. A parsec is about 3 light years. A light year is the distance that light travels in a year. So you can imagine that that's a lot. Our galaxy is about 40,000 light years, 60,000 light years, which means that it's like 20,000 parsecs. The scale of the universe, 9 billion light years. So that's the mother of all scales. And we kind of compare everything against that.
The Planck length is the size at which the effects of gravity get strong. Gravity is a really weak force at normal lengths, at normal scales, whereas as you get smaller and smaller and smaller, it will have a larger relative effect. Right? At these length scales, space and time might not be continuous. There might be all sorts of bubbling going on. It's really the limit at which our current models of physics we know would break down. So it's potentially the smallest scale one might be able to access. It might even be the smallest scale, the smallest length it's meaningful to talk about.
The largest objects in the universe seem to get bigger and bigger, the bigger we make our surveys. One thing you do to look for big things is point a telescope or telescopes at the night sky and, for example, count light, measure light, look for stars or look for galaxies, and then map them out. And what you see is you see this cosmic web of structure. It's like a messed up honeycomb is one way of thinking about it. And that honeycomb will have holes and it'll have walls. And you can look at the size of what are the largest holes and the largest walls. And I would say that the largest structures are about 100 million light years.
And what are these structures?
Like voids, massive holes in the distribution of galaxies.
So is that actually something, or is that just kind of space?
It's just space, but it has an identity. You can point at that and say, look, there's this massive hole there. There's this object, which in principle it should be filled out with stuff. Everything should look pretty smooth, but it isn't. And so the fact that you identify this feature, you can say that's a thing, it's a void.
I suppose you could say that machines like the Large Hadron Collider at CERN are really the world's most powerful microscopes, and what we're doing with them is to investigate the very smallest things that we can find. We are looking much smaller than an atom. So if you look 100,000 times smaller than the size of an atom, you see the nucleus. But that's the science of 100 years ago. We're trying to look very much smaller than that again. So we're trying to look 10,000 times smaller or 100,000 times smaller than the size of the nucleus of the atom. And at that level, as far as we can tell, the particles that make up the nucleus, which are called quarks, seem to be point-like, which means they have no size whatsoever. The electrons which go around the nucleus of the atom, those seem to be point-like as well. As far as we can tell, with the technology we've got, and with our very powerful machines, these weird fundamental particles seem to have no special extent, no size whatsoever. People might wonder, how can it be that these particles exist if they have no size at all? I don't think I've got any good answer to that question, other than that that's the way that nature seems to work.
On the very large scales, there seems to be compelling evidence that there is this thing called dark matter that clumps. It's different from dark energy. Dark matter clumps around galaxies and helps to keep them together. We have no idea what that dark matter is, and there's speculation that it's in the form of particles, but we haven't been able to detect them. At the LHC, they study particles. They collide things together and they see what they produce. And the hope, the wish, is that at some point in one of these collisions, we'll be able to see one of these dark matter particles.
No one has ever smashed together protons at these energies before. No one knows what it is that we might be able to observe there. And so we're exploring new territory. Well, if there is a dark matter particle, and it seems to be from what the astronomers are telling us, that it's much more of it around than there is of normal everyday stuff that we can see, well then we ought to be able to produce that as well. So provided that this dark matter stuff is made out of particles, then the energy of the Large Hadron Collider should be convertible into mass of those dark matter particles as well. And we might hope that we would be able to, well, not quite detect them, because we wouldn't see them directly, but they might portray their presence through their absence, in fact, through recoiling against other things that we could see, even though we can't see them directly.
And it'd be wonderful, because it would mean that from the LHC we would find what are the building blocks, the fundamental particles that make up the dark matter that keeps galaxies together. So I think it really goes two ways. The people working in cosmology are saying to the particle physicists, look, you know, if such a particle exists, and it's one possibility, you might be able to find it in the LHC. And if the LHC find it, they would go back to the cosmologist and say, look, here's your particle.
You've been listening to the Oxford Sparks podcast, produced by Ed Prosser. You can find a full list of credits and much else besides on our website at oxfordsparks.net.